This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
So the item I wanted to talk about is Star Wars, and more to the point that I haven't seen Star Wars, but I really want to. And this is not because I expect it to be good. It's because everything I've heard, for, at least from the people I trust, is that it's awful. And it's not that I have a morbid fascination with seeing awful movies. It's that I really want to be able to read and understand the criticism of it and get the jokes about, you know, slow cooking a pork and all that sort of thing. And so I want to see the movie, even though I think I won't enjoy it, because I think it will help me enjoy all the conversation and discourse around it. And this is a special case of the network externalities argument for consumption of the arts. So back in the 80s, Adler had this article on, I think it was Adler. Anyway, there was an article, an econ article in the 80s that was on the economics of the arts, and how the argument was that talking about a piece of art is complementary to actually consuming it. And because things that are popular have more discourse around them, it makes sense to harmonize on the popular things, because then it increases the complementarity of the conversation, which is ambient, and the consumption, if you choose the popular things, because there's lots of people to talk about. I realize this is exactly why I want to see what is apparently an awful movie. And I hated Force Awakens. I thought Rogue One was great, but I hated Force Awakens. I'm expecting this to be more of the same, but I still want to see it because I want to see why it's awful, and I want to be able to enjoy all the podcasts and reviews and things like that. Like, I'm not going to listen to the Weekly Substandard, which, you know, it's a great podcast because they're talking about it in this next episode until after I see it. So I have to see it so I can listen to that podcast.
So Joe and Yasmin, can you recall something that you've consumed, like a piece of art, whether it be going to a museum to see an exhibition or a book or a movie, that you decided you needed to be part of that experience, even though everything you read about it was bad, because you needed to be able to talk about it?
Well, I want to see The Room.
I know, I'm about that. Yeah.
And that's a good point, because The Disaster Artist, since The Disaster Artist came out, The Room went up to like number one selling just DVD on Amazon.
No way. It's only available on DVD.
Literally number one, but the sales spiked because of The Disaster Artist. So that's another example of discourse about a piece of art in the form of another movie increases the demand for that piece of art that it's commenting on.
I'll say that, like, I just refuse. One is, I loved The Force Awakens, and I refuse to believe that it's bad. I'm going Taylor Swift on this. I'm not listening to the haters.
Rey is the biggest Mary Sue in the history of literature. She could just,
she's
the biggest Mary Sue in the history of literature. She, or art. She goes from just being this, like, scavenger. Okay, great. She's earning a living. And then, like, she instantly learns about some piece of the Force, and then she's, like, the best in the history of the Force at it instantly. She doesn't have a training process. She doesn't have to carry a midget around on her back through a swamp for 6 months to learn it.
Nah, man. It's the Force chose her.
Sometimes it is just about nature, Gabriel.
Yeah. So that's right. It's a strong argument. That's how to convince people not to like it, is tell them that it's going to find a very strong heritability coefficient. Twins, nonetheless. There's twins involved in this. Right? I mean, at the core of Star Wars is fraternal twins.
Right. Sometimes it's the other way. It's when you think about, like, things like Star Wars or Titanic or Braveheart, you know, from, I guess, my childhood, of movies you had to see.
Wait, Braveheart is from your childhood?
Yeah, totally.
And Titanic?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I went as a kid.
Well, I'm just saying that makes me feel old.
But it's like, not seeing it becomes the thing, that you're in that select group of people who haven't seen it. And
wait, so that means you feel left out, or you feel like contrarian, that like you're too cool to see it?
Exactly, you're too cool to see it.
It's funny, my girlfriend has the same attitude about James Bond movies. Like, she's never seen one, and so now she refuses to see them because it makes for a better story that she's never seen one.
That's how I felt about Avatar. Like, I never saw it because it was like,
Well, in Avatar, you were right. Avatar was so awful, it's not even worth seeing to see people talk about how awful it is.
Well, I liked Avatar, so there.
Joe, I love you, but we're never going to the movies together.
Apparently not. Well, you're a movie snob. You were always an art snob. But like, I will say this. I'm also looking forward to it just so I don't have to avoid things online. Like you know how you were talking about how you're avoiding the Weekly Substandard, which is a great podcast that you introduced me to, and I'm grateful for that. But like, I'm tired of worrying about being on Twitter and getting spoilers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's it. Again, that's the network externalities. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be that you hate the piece of art. It's just that, you know, you realize that the discourse about the art and the art itself are tightly related, and the one makes the other more enjoyable.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.